Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
By the way,
the Nerd Hour.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
Bless Sunny Show.
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
Welcome to the Cut Print Film Podcast.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
My time now.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
No! Welcome to Rage Quit Radio.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
Time for the Rage.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
The Cousin Joe Show.
It's High Society Radio.
Atomicast.
It's all about me.
Shy kids.
Orange Room.
More Like Radio!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, I was... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Just 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now, here's your host. That's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Hopefully you're all okay, wherever it is and whenever it is you're listening to this. This is Antisocial Gamer Radio, live on Tuesdays, as usual, 9 p.m. UK time, 4 p.m. Eastern, live on morelikeradio.com. So if you listen to on download, get yourself in the chat, you know, giving you the times, get yourself in. There's a load of people in here tonight, as usual. It's freezing cold outside, so basically everyone's decided to stay inside and hang around with me for the next couple of hours. So strap in, we should have some fun. No, I say welcome to the show, everyone. I say it's glad to have tons of people in the chat, as usual. If you do want to call in, you do so on Skype. It's Antisocial Gamer Radio. It's all one word. If you want to get in touch with the show, like email us, you can go to it's antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. If you want to join our Facebook group, it's facebook.com/groups/MLRGamerLobby. Also, you can like us on Facebook. Hopefully trying to get to 200 likes by Christmas, hopefully. It's facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. Also, you can follow the show on Twitter at MLRGamerRadio. Don't forget as well, iTunes, search for More Like Radio, leave us a 5-star review, that would be great. So welcome to the show, people. I have been playing tons of games, bits and pieces of everything. To be honest, I've had stuff sent to me that I'm playing through that I've finished already. Just a whole bunch of stuff, really. I'll start with Far Cry 4, number 4. Yeah, I beat it. I finished it on over the weekend. Very fun, really good. Multiple endings. I went on YouTube and I watched the endings there because I was like, okay, I know I'm not going to play through this game again because literally I don't have the patience and I can't be asked to do what all I've done in the game again or more stuff. You know, basically, it's like a couple. I mean, I was watching on YouTube like one ending where basically the game ends where if you just sit where right at the beginning of the game. When you get to the table, if you just sit there, the game just sort of ends. You do what you're supposed to do, you know, put the ashes there, and then it's like, that's it. But, the, you know, there's other ones, but at the end, you do, you know, you make choices, you do one thing, or you do another. actually, it was no endings different from what I've watched. They're both, well, all three of them are really good, you know, but it was satisfying to choose the ending that I chose, which, you know, I'll probably go into towards, you know, the New Year's, you know, Game of the Year show, talk about it then, give everyone a couple of weeks. I mean, the game's only just come out, so. But yeah, I'm tons and tons of fun with Far Cry 4. I mean, I took over all the bell towers and the outposts. I got access to the northern part of Kirat. But yeah, I say tons of, I mean, I love doing the sort of the stealthy missions, like, the sneaking around. You know, I think it's the years of Assassin's Creed and Metal Gear Solid is sort of, put that in me, I can, you know, I have plenty of fun just sort of sneaking around doing bits and pieces and enjoying myself that way. But yeah, I say, bell towers, some of them are a bit confusing, like, you know, the ones with no clear door on how to get into it, which, you know, I found a way eventually, sort of, you know, tunneling under the building and, you know. But yeah, outposts, plenty of fun. Some of them I did like several times trying to, you know, without being detected by the alarms and stuff like that. But yeah, really, really fun. It's one of those things I love doing. It's sort of, I'd be a perfectionist when it comes to this sort of stuff. I want to sneak in without being detected. I want to use silenced pistols and weapons. Very Rambo-ish, using a bow all the time to take out enemies, which is a bit harder on the later enemies in the sort of the hard difficulty outpost because... Yes, on the easy ones, I can sort of sneak in, no problem. You know, bow and arrow, take out one guy, take out another, take out another. Whereas even on the heavy ones do take a couple of arrows before they actually go down. But on the harder difficulty ones, they were quite tough. They were literally three or four arrows. And when they're firing, you know, heavy machine guns at you, you're kind of fucked. But yeah, I mean, I did all that. I took over the fortresses as well. Yeah, I like the game. It's good. I'm sort of having thoughts about maybe if it's not going to be Game of the Year this year. I mean, because Game of the Year is in a couple of weeks now, the Game of the Year show. I really have no clue what's going to be Game of the Year for me. I'm just sort of racking my brains. And it's like I said last week, it's like nothing's really stood out for me that I want to... I mean, Destiny's on my mind. I'm looking at it right now as it sits by my PlayStation 4. But I'm like, if I liked it enough, I'd still be playing. But I haven't played it in like 2 or 3 weeks, so it's it's up there, but it's not. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell. Really, it's weird. I don't know. I mean, you know, Game of the Year shows in a few weeks. I think about this stuff really, really hard. But yeah, so I took over the fortresses as well. I mean, they're pretty tough as well. It's sort of most of them lots sort of surrounded by mines, so I have to sort of sneak past them and. Find sneaky ways in, take out enemies without being caught, and you know, it took a lot of practice, dying, repeating myself just to get the stuff done properly. But yeah, I say it is a really fun game. I mean, there's still stuff for me to do, but I'm like, I'm not that fussed now. I mean, I've beaten it, I've seen the endings. I mean, I've got like armored. Missions to guarding missions of the armored vehicles, hunting stuff. I've still got to do the fashion ones, but I'm like, I've beat the game. There's no real need to carry on. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, that's the thing with these sort of games that I'm playing these days. Tons of stuff to collect, but once you've actually finished the game, there's no real need to do any of that. And I mean, that's the way I usually got to play the open world games. You know, Assassin's Creed, your Far Cry, your Grand Theft Auto, stuff like that. Go around the whole world. Collect all the items that I need to make my character better. But recently, I've just been... I need to get the story done, finish the game, see how it ends. I mean, let's say with Assassin's Creed, I mean, the story was going nowhere. I mean, the one in, you know, in France, the actual in-game story was going somewhere, but it sort of panned out a little bit from what I've seen of the ending. But I mean, the outside world where you were sort of helping the assassins in the Animus, that sort of stuff, that was going nowhere, which is pretty much where I stopped. Because I mean, yes, you can tell a story about, you know, what happened 200 years ago to assassins fighting Templars until we're blue in the face. But unless there's something going on in the actual outside world, it's not worth bothering with, to be honest. And that's my view. It's why I stopped. I mean, I don't even have the game, and I sold it the other week. But, you know, I mean, you know, even though it's a different game, still made by Ubisoft. It's good. I mean, the story is completely different to Far Cry 2 and Far Cry 3 because it's different characters, obviously. But I mean, I had fun. You know, the story does what it's supposed to do, but it does sort of turn into a bit of a bloodbath. I mean, several times towards the end of the game, I've taken over the outposts, I've taken over the bell towers, I've taken over the fortresses. There should be very little troops of the enemies to, you know, come after me, but in the end, I'm literally overwhelmed by tons and tons of enemies. I've got literally, I'm not equipped the way I should be. I mean, I'm getting attacked by helicopters. I mean, one of the bell tower missions, I had to like fight a helicopter, and it was literally lucky enough that there was a rocket launcher that I found on a guard that was nearby that I'd used to destroy the helicopter. Fucking shitted on by this helicopter. And it just feels like you are getting overwhelmed more than you actually, you know, you should be. Considering that the way it goes is that you've taken over all these outposts, you've taken over these bases that have all these troops. Why is there no a lesser in power? I mean, they say in the game that when you take over the fortresses, it says they're all very hard and you need to do more missions in game to weaken the power of, you know, the fortresses, the fortress power. I could do that, but I'd rather go in there and sneak around and take out all the enemies, because, you know, there's only about like 15, 20 enemies. You know, you sort of headshot them, sneak up behind them, use a takedown, and they're pretty much dead. And it's not as hard as, you know, trying to get undetected is quite tricky, but it's not as hard as everyone thinks, or it's made out to be, really. But I mean, I like Far Cry 4. I don't think it's as good as Far Cry 3. I mean, I love the story more in Far Cry 3. There was more connection. There was people to care about. Whereas this one, it's literally, it was one guy. He had pretty much no ties to anything, really. Which is weird. I mean, yeah, you were there to scatter your mother's ashes. You basically get abducted by this crazy psycho, you know, who's... Thinking about the way how the game sort of towards the end, it's like he wasn't that bad. He was bad, but he wasn't. He was just a guy, pretty much. With the Golden Path, you choose your leadership and stuff like that, and there's choices that can be made in that. I mean, it's this stuff I'll talk about later towards the game. But it's just, I don't know. It just didn't feel. It felt good. I mean, the game's great. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying it's just, it wasn't, it didn't move me emotionally the way that Far Cry 3 did with its story and, you know, the storytelling and its characters. Because in this, it's pretty much, you're doing the same stuff that you've done in, say, Far Cry 3. You're taking over bell towers, outposts, opening up the map. You're hunting, skinning, making your equipment better by doing that sort of stuff. You're finding more diamonds to get more money so you can buy weapons. Using lots of herbs and stuff, but I don't know, just maybe the story wasn't as good as it should be. I don't know, it just felt different. It felt more, I mean, it's just, even though there was a military power in in Far Cry 3, and there's a military power in this one, it was sort of, the whole game was more militaristic. It was more about guns and killing people, whereas, I don't know, maybe that's what it is. It's just, there was more of a reason to help the people in Far Cry 3 because it was your family and your girlfriend, that sort of stuff. Whereas in Far Cry 4, AJ Gully, he's just pretty much helping himself. He's, you know, sort of protecting the country that he was from, sort of. But I mean, when you go more into the story and you find out more about his family, who his mother was, who his dad was, and his sister, which I don't know, I must have missed that part. They had like a half sister, and it's just like, well, maybe he's just out there for himself and just trying to, you know, create some sort of order or chaos. Basically, it was weird. It's to explain, but I mean, you know, if you people are playing this, you'll understand what I'm trying to talk about. It is a bit awkward, but yeah, really good game. I'm sort of glad I finished with it. I mean, I've got tons of people at work who want to borrow it once they get themselves PlayStation 4s. If not, I'm literally going to sell it and, you know, pick up Grand Theft Auto. But yeah, I say it's, you know, very fun, worth picking up. Really, really good. I mean, it's multiplayer. I haven't touched. I mean, I've got like the limited edition. It's got like download codes for extra missions and weapons and stuff. I've got no use for that. I mean, I'm not probably going to even bother with it. I know I've, you know, what the fuck. With Assassin's Creed, I had download codes and all that sort of stuff to use, which I never did. So, you know, when I do sell it, the price will still be a good price because they've got all the codes are intact for things that I've never used. But yeah, so Far Cry 4, lots of fun. Other thing I got, I got this last Friday. I got Pokemon Alpha Sapphire. Yay, we finally get it a week later than America and half the world gets it because they think that we should be punished because some arsehole broke street dates, which I tried to do last Thursday, but I couldn't find a copy, so I was like, bugger that. But no, it turned up last Friday and I beat it sort of yesterday and this morning. I literally raced my way through the story because, I mean, just it has a great set of teams, Team Alpha and Team Aqua and Team Magma. Good teams, enemies and stuff. But there isn't much story. I mean, I'm just sort of clicking the button to get through this because literally, I mean, with the Pokemon stuff these days, it's like, yes, I have 5IV, a whole army of 5IV Pokemon. I don't need to follow much of a story. Just let me find all these Pokemon. Let me get the Mega Stones. That's what I'm down to now. I've got legendaries to catch, which I'm working on. I'm sort of literally, before the show started and all days that I've been sort of trying to level up my O-Power as my capture one. So when I do get to the legendaries that I need to find, I can catch them quite easily. But yeah, there's stuff like, the TMs, I need to find all them. So basically I have that my Alpha Sapphire cartridge is my main cartridge that I use in game now because I've transferred all my Pokemon over. I mean, I've got a chance for a couple back that I haven't nicknamed, which I'll need to fix. But yeah, so all my Pokemon are EV trained. I need to fill up my Pokedex so that way I do get the shiny charm and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I say there's not much left for me to do in this. I mean, once I've, you know, I know I need to get is it Omega Ruby? Yeah, I need to get myself my copy of Omega Ruby so that way I can get my Groudon and a whole bunch of other legendaries that I'm after and then sort of knock through that game. And then, you know, I'm done. But it's, I mean, I'm not in a hurry for that. I mean, I'll probably do something like that next year. Once I've done all the stuff with this one, I'll move on to that one. And I mean, I've got a few more bits to do on my version. And then I'm going to sell that and make some money off of it. But yeah, I mean, I like the game. It's good. It brings back some of the old stuff that I miss. I mean, I haven't tried anything with the secret bases yet. I went through the little, not mini quest. It was like you meet a guy and he tells you about the secret base if you just move and then you can find stuff. But I'm not that fussed about it, to be honest. I guess. I mean, I know I need to make something so I can get these flags. I think there's like 1,000 flags you need to find so you can get access to the Garchompites, Megastone, you know. Which, yeah, there's a whole, like, 48 Megastones, 46, 47. I mean, there's like a couple of Pokemon that don't need Megastones. But, yeah, my main process of thought at the moment is trying to basically get through the main, bits at the end that I've got to do, get my, you know, O-Powers up, get all the items and TMs, and then just work on catching these legendaries that I need to get to with the right natures and right abilities and right EVs, and, you know, so that way I can have, you know, the legendaries with the right stuff, really. And then I could sort of go through all the other legends that I've got, trade them for missing Pokemon in my Pokedex, And they just sort of move on, really, with it, basically. You know, once it's all ready, I can sort of start thinking about Nationals next year, as soon as we get a date of when that's going to happen. I've got a seriously bad feeling that it's probably going to clash with the next MLR live events on down in Florida, April 25th. I hope it doesn't. I mean, I'm trying to, because literally, I mean, last year we had, sorry, this year, rather, year's not over yet, even though it is December. It was around the sort of the school holiday time, sort of like half term or something. So I'm trying to find out what the half term dates are for next year, so that way I can sort of have a gist of an idea when this is going to happen. I'm looking forward to going to Nationals next year if I can go. But it's going to be fun. But yeah, I say there's not much left to do for Pokemon. It's literally, I mean, this game is good. I did the Delta episode, which I say I didn't care about. I'm like, okay, in this I can get Rayquaza. I can get Deoxys. I have Rayquaza. It's not bad. It's good enough for what I need to use it for. And Deoxys I'm about to get. I would say a whole bunch of legendaries. A whole bunch of legendaries I need to get and pick up. And then I can start trading all the shitty ones that I've got for, you know, Pokemon that I need to fill up my Pokedex. But yeah, it's fun and enjoyable, and you know, it's just sort of something. I mean, the whole game feels like filler. It usually is, because we usually get, like, say, we got Black and White, and then we had Black and White 2, which was a sort of in-between stuff between Gen 6 from Pokemon X and Y. Now, we haven't got Pokemon X and Y 2. We got, the remakes of these ones, of Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. I mean, there's, like, several different alterations and adding stuff, which I listened to a couple of Pokemon podcasts over the past couple of days, and they were saying it'd be nice if they actually bring some of the stuff they've put through into this game into Gen 7, which usually happens, but we'll wait and see. I mean, I'm hoping that we'll get some sort of reveal next summer, early next summer, you know, June, July time, about a Gen 7 Pokemon game. You know, wait and see, really. I mean, they probably won't add too many. We only got like 60 odd Pokemon, and we're still waiting. I mean, even though it's been like a year since, you know, X and Y came out, and we have the Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire games, you know, we're still waiting on two legendaries. I mean, because we have going on now the Shiny Beldum event, which is good. And that means that now I have access to all three shiny versions of, you know, Beldum, Matang, and Metagross. But yeah, I say, it's, you know, that's good. I also got my Diancie code, which I sort of wasn't too sure how to use, but I had to ask someone. They said, well, download into this, then copy into that, and then, you know, you're fine. So I did. So I've got me a Diancie. It's got the right nature that I was after, and its IVs are pretty sweet. So that's got to be EV trained. All these other legendaries I'm going to get catch, they're going to have to be EV trained as well. It's a whole bunch of stuff that needs to be done, but it's going to take a bit of time. But I don't mind. I mean, I was playing before the show started the minecart adventure mini game on the Pokemon Global Link. Kind of fun, a little bit. It's a time waster, because basically one of the prizes is a Master Ball, and I'm like, okay, that's pretty good. And the other prizes all prizes you get are Pokeballs. I'm like, well, I try and get as many Master Balls as I can to help me out when it comes to catching. I mean, people I've been talking to today on Game Facts and various other places are saying, well, save your Master Ball for Deoxys, because that'll be pretty tough. So I'm like, okay, that's good. I mean, I've beat the Elite Four twice, and it's a pain in the ass as well, because the first time you beat the Elite Four, they're at level 50, 60 roughly. But then when you get to, you go through it the second time, they're at like 70. And I'm like, shit, this is tricky, because I'm using the Pokemon that I use to get through Black and White, X and Y. And, you know, I've got like a level 100 Charizard, level 100 Aurorus and Raichu, and, you know, some of those. And I use my level 100 Mewtwo. But, yeah, it's tough, because literally they're at level 70, and it's only like 30 levels behind. So my Pokemon do still take a beating, even though, because they're not EV trained or anything. They're just sort of the ones I use to get through the games that help me get through the Elite Four again and again and again to make some money. But yeah, there's tons of stuff that I can do in the game world, and I mean, I've got Pokemon that I need to get up to level 100 eventually. But yeah, I mean, I'm having tons of fun with the game. It's just it takes a bit of time to do what I need to do. I mean, that's the thing now. I mean, most of my Pokemon are sort of mid-50s because I used a lot of them for, you know, trying to level up to get the moves that I need to, or speed runs from X and Y to get the Pokemon that I was needed. Whereas this, it's literally, get the legend duties I want from Alpha, go to get my Ruby's Omega Ruby version, get the legend duties I want from that, send them over to the Alpha Sapphire. I'll at least have my one cart, which I'm looking forward to. That will be pretty much the ultimate thing that I'm after. Apart from the fact that there's Mew, Victini, the legendary Pokemon I'm after. I think it's Mew, Victini, or Jirachi, probably. That's the three Pokemon that I want with the right IVs and nature, which is something to work on, eventually, but we'll see how that goes. Eventually, we could get those threes as gifts. I mean, I'd love I've got a level 5 Jirachi, which I could sort of mess around with, but I mean, level 5 Mew, give me that, that'd be great, And what's good about just literally looking for these Pokemon is that when they do get them, you get them in the old mystery gift, you can sort of, soft reset them to get the right ability, right nature that you want, and usually that does work pretty well for me. But yeah, that's pretty much my Pokemon stuff. As I race through the game, trying to finish it off, get what I've done, need to do with it. I mean, the thing is, come Nationals next year, once Nationals is done, I'll put the game down and then I won't touch it until we get Gen 7. Because literally, there's nothing for me to do. I mean, the same. I know literally for the past couple of weeks after I finished doing the breeding and stuff for X and Y, I'm like, well, okay, once I've done this, I've got nothing else to do with Pokemon until we get Aorus, the games, which, what I'm playing now. But once I've done these ones, there'll be nothing to do after that, so I'll need to find something else to play. I mean, there's this game called Fantasy Life, which I've seen on the 3DS. That might be worth picking up, having a go at. But yeah, there's tons of stuff that I can do and can play. But yeah, Pokemon stuff, that's sort of, come next summer, I'll probably be done with it until next winter. If we do get Gen 7 next year, maybe, maybe not. Don't know, we'll wait and see. But stuff, other thing I have been playing, so I have played a lot of stuff this week because I'm on holiday from work, so I've got time to kill and I've got games to finish because I need to do a sort of decent lineup of games that I've played this year. I got myself Dragon Age Inquisition. This turned up Saturday and I didn't start playing it until yesterday, I think, or day before. Sunday, I think I started playing it because I sort of made sure I knocked out Far Cry 4 with plenty of time. But yeah, Dragon Age Inquisition, a really good game, and it's very nice looking. It's kind of weird, because, I was playing this today, the week before, I watched, all the Lord of the Rings movies, and then the two Hobbit movies, which are out, and I'm playing this, well, there's a dwarf, there's an elf, there's a man, there's, a bunch of other people, races and stuff. This really doesn't feel like Lord of the Rings, and it just, even though it's not Lord of the Rings, I know, but it's like, you think it would because it has the same races and demons and all that sort of shit. It doesn't feel like that, and it's good. It means it feels something separately, because most of the stuff that I have been playing, the sort of fantasy stuff, has been sort of Lord of the Rings-esque feeling from another Lord of the Rings-branded licensed game. But yeah, it's actually a really good game. The story's weird, because, I know BioWare, with, who've done Knights of the Old Republic, because I say this does feel very in between, because I'm going to tell you, the whole point of this game is, from the way I've played it, it's weird. I'll explain. I know I'm rambling, but you start off the game and you wake up from, you fell out of some rift. I wasn't paying too much attention. I was trying to sort of customize my character, which I'll talk about in a sec. But yeah, I was like, okay, you're supposedly done some bad stuff. Because you don't really know much about your character's past, like who you are, whatever, but then you get branded as the herald of something or other. And supposedly you were talking to some woman in some rift, and you have the power to close these rifts. It's sort of one of those, it feels a lot like Knights of the Old Republic. It's like, yeah, you don't know your past. Are you the good guy or the bad guy? Whereas Knights of the Old Republic, you were the bad guy, but then you became good if you chose to, or you became bad if you wanted to. Whereas closing the rifts and stuff, it does feel like a lot of like the Elder Scrolls Oblivion. It's like, yeah, you're closing the gates, trying to stop all the demons and stuff coming through. But yeah, it doesn't feel like Skyrim exactly, the Elder Scrolls stuff, because the way it plays like an role play game, it's like you know, it's not exactly top down isometric, but you're pressing a you're pressing the attack, you're holding it down, and your character just swings and swings and swings his like sword. I'm using a giant hammer at the moment for my character. But yeah, whereas in stuff like Oblivion, Skyrim, what the hell was that one for the shit? Not Demon's Souls. Fuck it, Diablo 3. Yeah, you press the button and you attack, you know, when you want to. But yeah, this is very, you know, you just classic PC, just hold the button down and your character takes care of everything. Which basically does give it a bit of a slower paced feel to the game. And it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. It's, I mean, as I say, I'm past couple of games I played, I'm trying to hurry up and play them so I can get through them. Whereas this is like, there's so much to do, so many quests, so many missions. I'm not in a hurry. I mean, basically, I'm interested. There's nothing else that I really want to play. I mean, people have got the new Call of Duty, and I'm like, well, do you want to borrow this for your game of the year show? So I'm like, okay, eventually I'll borrow it and play it. So next couple of weeks, hopefully. But it's just, I'm not in a hurry to sort of rush through this. I'm literally sort of, it's only my second day off on holiday. I've got like a whole 5 days, week left ahead of me. I can just sit here and play, you know, Dragon Age Inquisition until I'm bored, really. I mean, I tell you, there's tons of stuff to do in this game. I mean, I'm having fun doing menial shit. I mean, there's like loads of little items, like there's iron that you can mine, and which is basically just walk up to it and press the X button, and herbs you can pick, pretty much the same thing. But I'm good with that, and there's loads of little quests. It's like go here, go there, and everything. And I'm still stuck on the first area. Not stuck exactly, but I'm not moving because I'm sort of enjoying where I am. So I'm like trying to open up all the map. Do all the quests for people. I'm collecting a couple of shards at the moment before I was playing, doing the show, I was playing, collecting shards for this quest, but there was like enemies that were too tough for me, so I had to sort of back out a bit. I'm not in a hurry to sort of race through the game. I'm taking it at a sort of leisurely pace. But yeah, it's fun. It's great to be playing Dragon Age again. I mean, I didn't play Dragon Age 2. Because my friend did, and he said it was okay-ish. But, I mean, I played the first one, loved it, really good, amazing. I did, like, several playthroughs, several different characters. I mean, my character now is based off Ramcat from the Moxie LaFemme people. He's the MC. You know, say next year, live events, him and Royce will be the host of the event. And it does look a lot like him. I tried my best to make it look like him, because he's a pretty cool guy. It does look pretty similar. Didn't get the voice though, because the voice is sort of deeper than his. Character customization, a lot of fun. I mean, I've got an idea for an elf character based off someone else, which I'll probably do for my bad playthrough, I think. But I'm doing my good playthrough now. I mean, my character is actually called Ramcat Jackson, which I thought was pretty cool. Yeah, it's a good playthrough. The guy's a warrior. I think he's like sword and shield. Even though at the moment I've literally got a giant hammer on him. It's like, I do love the whole... So that's what I thought I love about this game. It has a great feel of basically the old school top-down isometric thing. Even though it's not top-down isometric, it's, you know, behind the character. You know, you control these characters, you can make them do whatever you want. You press the big touchpad button, you can set up sort of attacks and stuff like that, but it's for the way I'm playing the game, it's pretty much not needed. It's literally, okay, we highlight a character, and then we just smash the shit out of him, basically. I do love the feel, the old school feel of this game that it's given me. I mean, you know, I say, there's tons to do, but, you know, there's like, I mean, from the stuff I've seen, there's rifts to close, there's landmarks to find, shards to find. There's always missions. I mean, I had to speak to some requisitions officer. They say, well, okay, well, I need 5 iron. I need some of that. I need like 10 bits of ram meat to feed the armies. And I need this ram skin and this bit to make tents. Or I need this to make a cage. Or, you know, there's tons of stuff to do in the actual game that I'm not in a hurry to sort of race through. I mean, I'll go around and collect stuff. I mean, I sort of wish it was more open and... I mean, because I don't know. I sort of wish it would take stuff from other things. I mean, I'm doing bits and pieces earlier when I was fighting these enemies trying to find these shards. And the enemies are a lot stronger than I am at the moment at my
current level, which is like level 5. I mean, I have no idea. See, so much stuff about this game I don't know. I mean, I have no idea what the maximum level cap is, even though my character's at level 5. There's bits and pieces that I don't know. I mean, I had to try and work out how to use potions, because it showed me, but I stopped to play for a little bit so I could play some Far Cry and get that finished off. But yeah, just doing some potion stuff to work out. You press shoulder button, then you click it up, and then you press the button again, and just use a potion. It's like, okay, that's great. But it's like, it'd be nice if you could sort of make them on the fly, but you've got to go to a special table to make them or to refill your amount of potions that you have. Or you usually go to your camp and then you rest and you get potions that way. But yeah, it's really, really good. I am having tons of fun with it. But just trying to think where else I'm going with this now. Yeah, still in the first area. I haven't done much. I don't really know much about the story or the characters. I mean, it's got Liana, the sexy chantress, redhead woman from the first game. She's in this, which is great. I haven't done much. I'm having so much fun with the actual game itself and doing menial shit and just random quests for people. That's what I like about it as well. There's like tons of quests to do. It's like, okay, there was a woman I was helping earlier, and she said, okay, I don't know where my husband is. He had a ring on him. Can you go and find him? She wants to, you know, and then we find him and he's dead, but we get the ring back for her and she's happy. And then it was like one guy, it was like, okay, my wife is sick. She needs his potion. Go and see this guy, get a potion. Yep, that's great. That's done. And, you know, a whole bunch of stuff to do in this game. And, you know, there's no real rush to do any of it. But it's really, really fun. I've talked a long time about, you know, Far Cry 4 and Pokemon, because I played a lot on them. But even though I've played a long time on this, like 4 or 5 hours into the game, I'm still in the first land, part, which is, I think, the Hinterlands. Yeah, I'm doing quests, I'm going to new areas, I'm, you know, just exploring and having fun. I'm trying to fight enemies, trying to get stronger, really. I cleared out all my equipment that I had, because I am making sure that I, you know, the characters that I do have they're the best equipment on them at each time. But yeah, there's other stuff I'd want. I mean, I've got this, I think it's Redcliffe, I think this town's called. I've got to go there to do something or find somebody. Hopefully, there's better merchants there or people, because you can make recipes and stuff. Not make recipes. You can, yeah, you get recipes and you make the stuff from the recipes. But it would be nice if I could, you know, make potions on the fly or make better weapons to equip the characters with. Because, I mean, they're doing pretty much decent damage when it comes to fighting. But it'd just be nice to, you know, it'd be nice to do a bit more, really, you know, with the actual characters and stuff. I mean, I'm aiming for too high too early, but I don't know. But yeah, say, Dragon Age, a lot of fun. I'm glad you're playing it again. Yeah, it's really, really good. And I say, I'm having tons of fun with it. And, you know, it's nice to play something different, really, that's not a sequel. I mean, when Dragon Age, 2 came out, 5, 6 years ago, a long time ago? I mean, yes, this is a sequel, but it's not something that's recent. It's not, you know, Assassin's Creed. It's not Far Cry. It's not Fallout. Call of Duty. It's something different. I mean, I know I said I was going to buy Geometry Wars. I'm putting it on the hold for the moment because literally I've got stuff to play, Pokemon basically, and Dragon Age. But no doubt when I come to buy Geometry Wars, it'll probably be on sale somewhere, so I'll get a deal on it, which would be nice. But yeah, I say tons of fun had with Dragon Age, and really, really good and really, really enjoyable. I'm going to go into some new stuff because there's no topic this week, but literally I have tons of news. Last week was a pain in the ass. I was worried about running out of like news topics. But yeah, this week I've got tons of shit to talk about, really. So literally, I've only got about 20 minutes before the first break, so I will get into... Yeah, let's get into some Xbox stuff and some Microsoft things. This is worrying, maybe slightly. This is from Eurogamer. Games selling Xbox One and 4 games are £299. Let's go into the original story here because of the update on it. UK retailer Game has announced an eye-catching deal for Black Friday, an Xbox One console with 4 games for £299. The bundle includes a standard Xbox One console without Kinect, yay, is the way it should be, Assassin's Creed Unity, Assassin's Creed Black Flag, Forza 5, and Lego Marvel Super Heroes, which is actually a good bundle, to be honest. I mean, you could probably sell both the Assassin's Creed games and keep the other two. But yeah, I say that's not bad. But it says game calculates the items will cost over just under £500, £479.95 when bought separately, making for a savings of £179. It's worth noting that Lego Marvel is a box game. The other titles include will be digital downloads. Oh, okay. That makes sense why it's cheaper then. The bundle will go on sale tonight midnight over 200 stores. Available while stocks last. Yeah, it's not bad though, but digital download? I mean, I don't know, maybe go on eBay. Yeah, I'd say maybe go on eBay and find someone who wants to buy it off you. But yeah, Forza 5, that's worth a purchase. But yeah, this is an update on this game. Also has a PlayStation 4 deal. It's selling a PlayStation 4 with the Eurovision. Evolution's racing game, Drive Club, and Naughty Dog's Last of Us Remastered for $2.99. But say, yeah, they got the Cyber Monday deals still going on, I think, or Christmas deals. I don't know. It's weird. There's a whole bunch of like Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and sort of Christmas sales going on. I mean, you can get like The Last of Us like £20 now, which I'm probably not going to buy The Last of Us. I mean, I've played it and beaten it and finished with it, and nothing much I really need to do with it. But, you know, it's fun and enjoyable, but, you know. But that's not bad, though. $2.99 for Xbox One and, like, four games. And as I say, I'd recommend it to people if the stocks are available. I doubt it probably now. But, you know, good bunch of good games. I'd say Assassin's Creed Black Flag was, like, the last decent Assassin's Creed. Forza 5, it's okay from what I've heard. But, I mean, I don't know, bits and pieces and stuff. Let's see what else. Here we go. This is, I don't know. I don't know if this is expected. But, yeah. Xbox Japan boss resigns amid dismissal Xbox One sales. Holy shit. Takeshi Sumui, the boss of... Sensu. Sorry, there we go. Can't see. Fuck away. Let's pull this laptop quick closer to me. That's better. Now I can see. The Xbox boss of... the boss of Xbox in Japan has resigned his post. Sensory will stay with Microsoft but work at the company's US headquarters instead. The move comes from amid terrible sales of the Xbox One in the country, where the console has performed far worse than the predecessor Xbox 360 or the original Xbox. The Xbox One has now shifted 38,461 units in Japan since it arrived in September. The vast majority, 23,562 units were sold over its first 4 days. The Xbox 360 sold double that over the 2 days when it launched back in 2005. The Xbox One suffered the lowest Japanese launch for any home console in recent years, well below the Wii U's 308K in 2 days, the PlayStation 4's 322 in 2 days, and then the other machine for the last few console generations. Wow, that's really bad. I mean, I'm going to say, if your Wii U and the PlayStation 4's only selling, it's not selling that much anyway. Sales have since dropped off to a trickle. 776 Xbox One consoles were sold in Japan last week, according to numbers company Media Create. In comparison, PlayStation 4 sold 12,400 units, while the Wii U sold 9,600. Shit. Microsoft has publicly remained quiet on the Xbox One's performance in Japan, although the one comment from Sensory emerged in October suggesting that the company was not pleased with its progress. Well, no shit. It's not as though we're satisfied with the current sales site, Sensory said. Taking the first step was very important, and as for how to permeate the market from here, we hope to continue to do our best. Basically, they have no clue. And I'm trying to think now. I mean, like, what do you do to... What can Microsoft do to increase sales in Japan? I mean, as I said many a time, Japan... I mean, Japan's weird, right? Because, I mean... They'll adopt a lot of Western culture, and I mean, I was watching some documentary about how the fact that the samurais were going were pretty much disevolved as a race, national pastime. I don't know if that's the right word to use. Where they were coming in Western traditions, Western clothing, Western buildings, that sort of stuff. Everything was changing, but you look at an Xbox, which is pretty much Western, America, blah, blah, blah. You know, they won't adopt it or, you know, bring it in. But I'm just, I say, same with me. I mean, I've got a PlayStation 4. It's from Japan, probably made in Taiwan or China. But it's a Japanese company's console. I mean, yes, I would like an Xbox One. I'm in no hurry for it, and I have no idea when I'll buy one. I mean, there's no real games on there that I want to buy, but I mean, yes, I'd love one. But yeah, I mean, it's just the way it goes. I mean, people like the PlayStation a lot more than the Xbox. I mean, I'd say, you know, the Xbox 360's heyday was pretty much the main thing for the Microsoft. That was when their console was flying high. I mean, even the Xbox One now, it's playing catch up, but it's doing well. Whereas you compare it to stuff like, you know, I mean, just even the Wii U's the selling. I mean, the Wii U is a piece of shit, but people are still buying games for it. I mean, in Japan, yes, obviously, but I don't know. I mean, I'd love to see what the Wii U sales numbers for the rest of the world are compared to, you know, compared to what's going on over in Japan, really. But where was I? Yes. Famitsu reports that the Xbox Japan boss has now fallen to Yoshinami Takeshi. Yeah, there we go. Who joined the company back in July following more than 25 years. To 25 years at Sony. So he worked for Sony. Wow, he worked for Jesus. Xbox has been struggling to make an impression in Japan, which has traditionally favoured other consoles. But in recent years, all home consoles have struggled as the market shifts to focus on its mobile gaming. Yeah, that's the thing. That's what everyone else has been telling me as well, because I've been saying about Japan not liking America, the bombs and shit like that, and the war. You know, obvious stuff. It's history. You don't have to, you know, whatever. But to be honest, you know, everyone forgives and forgets. Yes, it was bad, whatever, but, you know, fucking, I mean, there were still Jews living in Germany and, you know, fucking they can sort of move on with their lives. But, yeah, I mean, let's say with Japan, it's changing. It's more focused on, say, mobile gaming. You know, 3DS, which, I don't know if you can hear that, but literally I'm holding my 3DS in my hand. I probably shouldn't tap it like that because it's my Pikachu 3DS and it's falling apart as it is. But yeah, I mean, mobile gaming, I mean, I'd love a new iPod to play some of these mobile games that are coming out. Not an iPhone because I'm not a hipster. You know, I mean, just want an iPod Touch with 32 gigs, you know, whatever. But yeah, I mean, it's fun. But yeah, I mean, yeah, mobile gaming is the way to go. I mean, people are always out and about and playing stuff. I mean, there was in the Pokemon, in Alpha Sapphire Omega Ruby, there's some sort of, when you go to one of the buildings, there's like four people with mobile, you know, with 3DSs all standing around playing games with each other. And I was like, well, that shows you the way forward for mobile gaming these days. But yeah, I say, you know, it's bad, but what the fuck can you do, to be honest? As you know, the past couple of weeks I've been news article after news article. I haven't seen anything worth Microsoft-wise that's, you know, what games have they got that's interesting? What games have they put out that are worth playing? Forza, Dead Rising, Sunset Overdrive, which I've heard is really good. There's very few. I mean, so I could say the same thing about Sony as well. But I say with Sony, with the PlayStation 4, the fact that they didn't bother putting the Kinect, like a sort of camera unit, in with it like Microsoft did, which is the fucking... How stupid are Microsoft to do that in the fucking first place? I mean, I've said this many a time on the show, and you're probably sick to hear it. Death for hearing me talk about this sort of shit. But the thing is, though, right, you look at it. It's a camera that no one wants, no one uses. Sales are better now for the Xbox One. In fact, there's no camera in it. I want to buy an Xbox One now because there is no camera in it. Whereas when there was a camera in it, you wouldn't catch me buying it for the fucking life of you, life of me. But the thing is, though, Sony saw the stupidness that Microsoft did this and the whole fucking you can't trade games, you have to be online all the time. And I was like, no, fuck that. Why would you want to do something like that when you've got consoles like your PlayStation 3 and your Xbox 360 that didn't need to do that in the first place, but now you're enforcing these rules that need to, and then you went back on it. See? That's fucked you up. You made a fuck up. So Microsoft, losing the sort of console war, as I say with air quotes, as you can't see because this is on the radio, losing the console war over stupid mistakes and, you know, Sony's winning, Microsoft losing, but maybe this will change with the next generation, you know, 15 years down the line, if we get the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox 2, I know, which will be the like, fourth Xbox console, but even if Xbox decides to make something, depending on how the Xbox One goes with sales between now and what year is it now? 2027, when we probably find something else about the new console generation coming out then. God, I'm going to be so old. But yeah, I don't know. What can you do, really? Let's find something else. You know, I've got tons of Microsoft stuff. I've got tons of new stuff. I have got like about eight, nine articles on Nintendo. How weird is that? I've never heard anything about Nintendo. It's so fucking quiet. But most of the stuff's all Pokemon anyway, so yay for me. Here we go, yeah. Titanfall stuff for people playing Titanfall, which that's something I'd want to play on the Xbox One. That's another console exclusive, but Titanfall 2 is supposed to come to all consoles, so I'll give it a couple of years, and no doubt I'll be playing Titanfall 2 on my PlayStation 4. Yeah, here we go. Titanfall's Xbox 360 version to receive co-op next week. Yeah, this is from Eurogamer. Titanfall Xbox 360 version will get the 8th major update. Oh, so yesterday. Here we go, yeah. On the 1st of December, so you'll be playing it now, where it will receive the co-op mode Frontier Defense. Developer Respawn has announced. Released on Xbox One and PC last month, Frontier Defense is basically Titanfall's take on Horde mode. Oh, sweet. With objectives that players need to carry out while fending off impending waves of enemies. That sounds pretty sweet. Last month's Respawn called this Titanfall's biggest update ever, as it includes such additions as rank play, new game modes like the Hot Lava-esque Deadly Ground and Mark for Death Pro, along with private match burn card options so everyone starts with the same deck. I'm not too sure what that means, because literally I'd love to play Titanfall, because I'm a big sort of mech fan. I have no idea, but you know, sounds good, sounds fun. I guess everyone's playing it, is loving it. That's one of the things. If I do get myself an Xbox One, I will be picking up Titanfall. So you know, when I do, I need to create myself a new ID because my Xbox Live account has run out, and you know, probably be the same as my PlayStation ID anyway. Here we go. Yeah, this is something serious as well that happened to Microsoft and Xbox. Where we go? Yeah. So this is from IGN, so I had to stop the video before it fucking played. Xbox Live on its feet again after alleged DDoS attack. Xbox Live is online after suffering outage today, with a hacker group claiming to have DDoS'd its servers. Their alleged antics left many in the United States and Canada unable to connect to the servers at all, while others reported that only their friends' listeners were affected. Thankfully, it appears that the service is now back up, with Xbox Live status page reporting no problems. The group Lizard Squad, who've been around several times doing, I think they did Final Fantasy and some Call of Duty stuff a while ago, took credit for the outage on Twitter, and it's threatening to do it again over Christmas, because some people are just like that. The group also claimed to be behind PlayStation Network's issues back in August. Here we go. Sorry, I'm just reading ahead. There's more to this article. So, we've reached out to Microsoft for a comment. Pretty much no comments to IGN from Xbox. But yeah, I'd say Lizard Squad, they've been around before and done various things. I don't get it. Why? What's the fucking point of this shit? So you've shown off Xbox Live. So, people can go and play on their PlayStations. It's pathetic. It's stupid. It's juvenile. But I guess this group Lizard Squad are having fun with this. You know, good for them, I guess. But it's like, I don't see what the point. It's like, okay, why? Okay, you've stopped people from using Xbox Live and PlayStation Network and stuff. Okay, hope you feel good. Whatever. I would say that's the thing. There's other stuff to do. Yes, we're into internet age and all this sort of stuff, but there is more to do than sit in front of a computer, sit in front of a console. I'm looking out the window. I've got two open windows. Not open windows. It's freezing fucking cold. I'm not mad. you know, there's plenty of stuff to do outside. It's like go outside for a couple of hours, go down to shops, go and read a book. I mean, there's plenty of other stuff to do. But yeah, I say they've done it. Good for them if they feel like that. But I mean, it's a waste of damn time. Might as well just grow up and do something, you know, civilized. Here we go. Yeah. Something else that's, I don't know, I liked on my, you know, back on my iPod when I played it for games anyway. Infinity Blade coming to Xbox One. According to reports originating from a Chinese forum and a subsequent video, it looks as though Infinity Blade is a Kinect title coming to Xbox One in China. The confirmation comes via two forum posts, one at A9VG, the other at NeoGAF, both of which point to the latest TCG event as its source. According to the post, there is a demo of the game, which is now called Infinity Blade Saga, or in the East, Infinity Blade of Destiny, okay, which is playable on the Xbox One with Kinect. That said, Kinect isn't the only way to control the action. Those who control who choose to play with a controller can, which is good because, to be honest, I don't want to fucking Kinect, but I'd love to play Infinity Blade with a controller, even though it's sort of... It might feel... To be honest, actually, I wouldn't mind actually playing it with Kinect. It would actually be a bit of fun just thinking about it, sort of, you know, swiping with your hand motions, that sort of stuff to fight. You know, it could be a good workout. I mean, I've lost a lot of weight recently. I'm sort of looking very slim and sexy. Ladies. But yeah, that could be actually worth playing for the Kinect, whereas you have, like, you know, what I was going to say, not Metal Gear. What the fuck am I talking about? Mech Warrior? Steel Battalion. There we go. Close enough. Yeah, Steel Battalion, where that was supposed to be great with the Kinect and was pile of dog shit and that Star Wars Dance Revolution bullshit. But yeah, so here we go. Yeah, elsewhere, the post says Infinity Blade Saga is being published by Tencent, who has a history in the free-to-play market. It's possible that this title could potentially follow in the publisher's free-to-play footsteps. And yes, so if you want to buy extra gold to buy the better weapons, you've got to put your hand in your pockets. Providing it's approved by a Chinese government, Infinity Blade Saga is expected to ship sometime before the Christmas Lunar New Year. So I think it was February. In the meantime, feel free to check the... fuck off, IGN. A bunch of cunts. Yeah, I say that'd be actually really fun to play. But I just want to... Yeah, that could be fun, I guess. You know, I like Infinity Blade. I mean, I love the first one on the old... on my iPod. It's the only place we can fucking get it. On my iPod Touch. Yeah, there we go. Just trying to think what sort of iPod I had. Yeah, and so I think I did buy the second one, but I played it for like 5 seconds. I'm like, yeah, this isn't... It wasn't running. It was terrible. I think it's because I've had like my iPod Touch for like four or five years, a long time. I know it's literally screen's cracked, got a hole in it, really. I can put a pen in it. But yeah, so it needs replacing. That's why I need a new one. But yeah, I say Infinity Blade, a really fun game series to play. I mean, there's so much stuff that I want to play on the iPod Touch, but I need a newer one because it's all the hardware and tech and all that sort of stuff, and half the shit I want doesn't play on it, which is a bastard, really. Final bit of news before I go to the break. This is from Eurogamer. Crytek is shutting down Warface on the Xbox 360. Crytek is sunsetting its free-to-play shooter Warface on Xbox 360, which is rather surprising as it launched earlier this year in April. The game will shut down for good come 1st of February, but Crytek has already closed the gates for prospective for new players, the studio announced on Facebook. Furthermore, existing players can keep playing for another couple of months, but they won't be able to purchase in-game currency credits. To all our Xbox 360 players, thank you for choosing to spend your time playing Warface, Crytek said. We hope you'll become part of the vibrant community and join regular new content and co-op and versus action, subscription-free on the PC. Crytek saw significant financial woes earlier this year, but announced in July that it had found additional funding from a mysterious benefactor that everything was was going to be okay, or rather it would proceed as planned with Hunt Horrors of the Gilded Age. Okay, that's much more than the games they're working on. So we've requested comment from Crytek about its closure and what the future of the company looks like. They'll update us when anything comes out. Yeah, I say that's good, I guess. I mean, you know, Crytek's a whole bunch of shit. But yeah, the mysterious benefactor, I'm going to guess it's Activision, I'd say, or EA, one of the big companies, because, you know, fucking Activision's fucking rolling around like Scrooge McDuck in money at the moment with your Destiny stuff and whole bunch of other Call of Duty money and stuff like that. But yeah, I say that's good and bad. But I mean, it's bad this game's closing down, but only since April. But I mean, you can still play it on the PC, so it's still there. It's not as if it's gone away. You just basically jump on a PC and play it. And it's subscription-free. There's new content, it says here. Co-op versus action. Fun, really. Go for it. Play it. Yeah, I'd say that's pretty much it for the first break. As soon as I can click on what I'm trying to click on. But yeah, I'd say coming up after break, I've literally got a whole load of Nintendo news. I've got Pokemon stuff. Basically, anything I can think of and talk about, because I've got so much news to talk about, it's really unbelievable. But yeah, I say I will be back in a few minutes, about 10 minutes or so. Get yourself something to eat, get yourself a drink, and I'll be back after these messages.
That combination and Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know for sure. Yeah. It's some sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
Well, that's where they started, yeah. But a priest biting another priest ear off?
Colorado Dickhead said, did you see the dude in Texas who beat the minister to death with an electric guitar? You hear about that?
An electric, what do they don't have? What do they have, a slide guitar down there? They don't have electric guitars down there?
It was Monsignor Hendrix who did it. I just made that up. Thanks, Colorado Dickhead.
Father Clapton goes apeshit.
Brother Becht.
Friar Ray Vaughan goes apeshit in church, and that is a big news.
Rabbi Little Richards.
We'll go with Keith Richards.
Father Van Halen. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, Eddie Van Halo.
The Conti and Kenny Show. Monday nights, 7 to 10, on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Hey smokers, you stink worse than a dumpster. Stop living in the Middle Ages and try an electronic cigarette today by Smokeless Image. Just go to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. They're cheaper than regular cigarettes, don't smell, and come in a variety of flavors like fruit, mint, and traditional tobacco flavors. Order your new electronic cigarettes from Smokeless Image today by going to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. That's tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke.
Yeah, we can't sell Betsy's milk to nobody. Absolutely nobody.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
You can't sell that milk.
I got pain. That's all I have. Yo, I got pain.
I almost said I got pain.
I'ma smell it.
Dude fucking takes the bread, shoves it in her ass, shits it back out, puts it in the case. That's how you wrap the bread.
You can jiggle your fist around in there without hitting the sides.
The Orange Room. 9 to 11, Saturday nights on Warlike Radio.
If you're sick and tired of getting pro wrestling only after it's gone through the PG filter, then it's time you were introduced to Combat Zone Wrestling. celebrating 15 years of ultra violence. Combat Zone Wrestling will give you all the high stakes, high flying, and hard hitting pro wrestling you can handle. Check out their live event schedule, get information on their next iPay-per-view, skim the roster, or shop for CZW merch right now at czwrestling.com. That's czwrestling.com. No dance segments, no endless talk of downloading apps, just wrestling. Combat Zone Wrestling, the ultra violent underground.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you do just about anything for it? Well, that's exactly how we feel about you. That's right. AdamandEve.com wants you so bad. We're giving you 10 free gifts with your first order. You heard me right. That's 10 free gifts to spice up your love life. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, an adventurous toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. That's 10 free gifts for you shy types who've never tried Adam and Eve before. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code DEAL48 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts, including free shipping. That's offer code DEAL48. That's DEAL48 at adamandeve.com.
Listen to More Like Radio every Tuesday night for the answer to this question that's on everybody's lips.
What does the trunk say?
On your fuck. Oof. Ah!
What the drunk say?
I'm not one that judges penises.
Blah, 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 blah.
I can't understand what
the... What does the drunk say?
Do it in a bourbon barrel. I am all over the goddamn place, okay? Oh, let me, see this from,
What the drunk say?
I will fucking do that. I think that's enough of the racism there. Okay.
What does the drunk say?
Alcohol by Volume, Tuesdays 6 to 8 p.m. only on morelikeradio.com.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
I just keep thinking to myself, and it makes me giggle, that every time I hear the story, I imagine it was Ray Romano in the same situation.
Oh.
Oh, Debra.
Kind of does.
I barely touched her. Come on. Oh. Oh, it was my brother. Look at him. He's bigger than me. Come on. Oh. Come on. Everybody loves me. I got twins. Come on. Oh, let's go Home Depot. Come on.
Fess up, Raymond. You know it was you. They got you on video.
Anybody want soup?
Ma, come on. We're talking over here.
Oh man, I'm dying.
So if you learn anything from Hippo Juice, remember Ray Romano allegedly punched his wife in an elevator.
Right.
We don't report the news accurately. We report half of it. Whatever, it's still news. So fuck you guys. This is more entertaining than some football player.
Listen to the Hippo Juice Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
Hey, are you absolute garbage? Let me guess, an alcoholic? A drug addict? When was the last time you were even out of your house? Well, why don't you join us for the Red Show? We're all about personal betterment and self-esteem.
I want to do, maybe like City Meets the Swamp, something. Something.
I hope it ends up with the fucking city getting eaten by a goddamn alligator.
Ambassadors of peace at any income level.
That's what we do here. We're all about olive branches.
No, you're a fucking white trash asshole. You're about olive fucking garden, okay?
One thing we don't forget is how important our fans are.
Is there anything more you want to say about any of these cocksuckers that are listening?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
And we recognize the struggles and hardships of our friends.
We don't give a fuck. I hope you relapsed. Burn in hell, bull.
Oh my God. God, what are you?
I meant doing? I love you, bro. Get better.
So come join us live Wednesday nights and experience functional substance abuse on the Red Show. Only on More Like Radio.
You're doing some things with Enya, correct?
I hope you end your life. Now get off the microphone while I talk to my pal.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
Hey guys, check out my sweet Chimpokomon doll.
Please, Chimpokomon dolls are so last week.
What? Yeah, dude, don't you know? It's all about the Chimpokomon video game now. Did you bring your special Chimpokomon game controller? Huh? No.
Oh, you didn't get a special Chimpokomon game controller. Jesus Christ.
Team Pokemon, what is primary objective?
To destroy the evil power.
I've got to buy all the Chimpokemon so I can destroy the evil power.
Damn it.
I've got to buy them all. So first I better go to Hawaii and visit Pearl Harbor.
Try to bum the haba. Ready?
Go. I must buy them all.
We must buy them all.
Try to bum the haba.
So the video game gave Kenny a seizure. This game rules.
And welcome back, everyone, to part two of Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. A whole bunch of Microsoft stuff, news for you in the first part. Let's go into some Nintendo stuff, because literally I have a whole lot of stuff for them. There we go. This is something interesting that I saw. This is from Eurogamer. It says, play the original Game Boy in 1080p on a HD TV with the HD My Boy, the upgrade for a 25-year-old device now on Kickstarter. The HDMI Boy is one of the craziest, most and potentially most beloved propositions in ages, which is weird for something like that to be said about something on Kickstarter. An upgrade to the original 1989 Game Boy that will upscale its minimalist graphics into a smooth 1080p image on your contemporary HD TV. Proposed by the brothers Zane Amiralis and Joshua Dehan, not exactly brothers, on Kickstarter, the HDMI Boy is a module that you install on a Game Boy Classic by opening up its case and slotting it in the middle of the handheld device. The HDMI Boy gives you the sharpest and best picture you'll ever see come out of your Game Boy. As we redrew every pixel without blurs for anti-aliasing, the developer boasted, we prefer 1080p Full HD, but support 720p. Those are the two modes. Scale, which is the same ratio as the Game Boy screen, and stretch, which is the full screen mode, which redraws the graphics slightly wider. Furthermore, you can adopt the graphics by choosing which four shades of color you want. Where the original device only supported four variations of green. So if you'd rather go full black and white or opt for sepia tone, amber sort of look, you can do that. That being said, this module will only work for the original 1989 Game Boy, not the Game Boy Color, obviously not, the Advanced SP, Pocket, or any other variations of the handheld. Some may be turned off by the mild dismantling associated with the HDMI Boy's installation, but its developer insists that the device is a piece of cake. So it says, no Game Boys will be harmed when installing the upgrade. It takes less than 10 minutes. Just take six screws off out of your Game Boy with a special screwdriver we send you. Disconnect the cable, insert the HDMI Boy between the front and the back half of your Game Boy, reconnect cables, voila, full HD Game Boy sandwich. If you're curious, exactly how many pixels the HDMI Boy outputs images at, at developers noted that the scale mode upscales the original 160 by 144 by 7, resulting in 1,008 image, while stretch mode multiplies the pixels by 12 horizontally, even vertically, and 7 vertically, for 1920 by 1008 image. The 10 early bird specials of €115 for any HDMI board module, replica controller, and screwdriver have already sold out. So now it costs €125 to reserve one upon their estimated May launch. That so many people would claim these are at such a high cost, only 5 days into the campaign, is a good sign that the HDMI boy will come to fruition, though it still has a way to go before it reaches... Before it reaches its €65,000 goal. It's not off to a bad start, though, having already... acquired €16,000 with another 24 days to go before its 26th of December release. Perhaps pre-orders will be a hot Christmas item for retro game enthusiasts. Maybe. I don't know. That could be interesting, to be honest. I mean, okay, I don't see the point, to be honest. The fact that why should... I mean, yes, I mean, people would love it to play the original... As a Pokemon fan, I'd love to play like the original on the big screen TV. Like, but we did that with the GameCube. You know, you plug your Pokemon game in, and you just put it into a controller. Plug a controller into the your 3DS device. Blah blah blah. Yeah, you can play it on the big screen TV. But this is shit we've already done. It's not exactly old stuff. It's sort of taken slightly older tech and put it into slightly older tech. But yeah, I guess for people who want to do this is great. I mean, because the Game Boy has got a whole fucking library, like you wouldn't believe, of games, Mario, Kirby, you know, Metroid, all the classic stuff. I mean, yes, I know you can, you know, get them on your, on your, you know, on the Wii U store, and I can get them on my 3DS. But yeah, I mean, you know, you can play it on a big screen TV. That's got to be something. So, you know, if you want to put, you know, go out and, you know, get this, then, it's good stuff, I guess. What we got? Let's find something else to talk about. One sec. There we go. Here we go. Yeah, Pokemon stuff. As I say, Pokemon came out here last week in the UK. Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire's UK biggest launch ever, according to what we got here from Eurogamer. Combined sales of Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire have earned Nintendo its biggest UK Pokemon launch of all time. The combined sales total best year beat last year's launch of Pokemon X and Y by 17%. UK numbers chart track announced, despite Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire being remakes of the series' Game Boy Advance incarnations. Previously, UK record for a Pokemon launch was held by 2011's Black and White on the 3DS, which, you know, is understandable. It was one of the better ones. Fellow Nintendo, a new release, Super Smash Bros., only managed to get 13th place in the chart, which is okay. I mean, I didn't... I don't know. I'm probably biased as I only play a demo, but yeah, I just can't stand Smash Bros. I managed 13th place in the chart. That includes sales of both the Wii U and the 3DS incarnations. The game was supposed to launch supported by the launch of Nintendo's new Amiibo toy range, which I've got an article about in a second. Sales of which aren't known, but anecdotally there have been reports of Amiibo and Smash Bros. Stock shortages, which may not have helped the game's chart position. But to be honest, I mean, we had this with the Wii when that came out. There were shortages, and it wasn't really shortages. It was just that Nintendo was holding the stuff back so that basically there wouldn't be, a big rush of it. Otherwise, you got it all up on eBay. People were trying to sell it for massive prices, which is about the article I'm going to read next. But yeah, PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 3 Sandbox, Little Big Planet 3, the only new release, arrived in 18th place, back at the top of the chart. Call of Duty Advanced Warfare reclaimed the number one spot, thanks to Black Friday deals and promotions of the 1 TB Xbox One bundle. FIFA 15 was second, Grand Theft Auto 5 was third, Far Cry 4 was fourth, and Assassin's Creed Unity was fifth. Pokemon Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire placed infinitely in sixth and seventh. Drive Club was eighth, up 999% off the back of the huge sales of its PlayStation 4 bundle. Holy shit. While Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag re-entered the chart at the top 10 in 9th, and Microsoft Xbox Edition was 10th. So that's all pretty good, I guess. You know, that's not bad, though. I mean, it's weird. I mean, I'm slightly biased. I'm going to say, yeah, I love my Pokemon stuff, but I don't know. I think it's the whole fact that what we could do with the Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire with the legendaries and stuff like this. I mean, a whole bunch of stuff I talked about in the first part of the show, that sales are so high for this game, but it's, I don't know. It's weird. It's weird. It really is. Where's that article? Here we go. Yeah. This is from Eurogamer. Samus Amiibo misprint sells for $2,500 on eBay. Constructed Samus Amiibo, we reported on last week, ended its eBay auction with an astronomical high winning bid of $2,500. Here we go. Yeah, the misprint figurine has arm cannons on both arms rather than just the one. The promoted 19 users to place a total of 75 bids over the one-of-a-kind toy. How can it be one-of-a-kind? There has to be more than this one. It was like to just roll off the shelves with both arms. We've reached out to the seller, Jet4, to confirm that these bids are on the level, but have yet to hear back. However, the seller told GameSpot, "I'm very happy with how it turned out, suggesting that the winning bid is legit. I was considering hanging on to it to sell it at a later date if its value did not increase. He noted, however, with the high level of interest shown at the time when I posted it, though, I'd go ahead and sell it now in case the value went down and a whole tub of them was discovered at late. It was basically, which is my thought as well. It's like there's got to be more than one of these things, and you know he's made $2,500 of it. It's got to be pretty sweet. But yes, there's the dual arm cannon." Samus Jet 4, $13 when it was purchased at Best Buy. That's the profit of, 19,000 times what you paid for it. That's pretty cool, really. I've got to go out down the shops tomorrow. I'm going to try and look for any more Samuses with two arms. No doubt probably everyone else's as well. Try and set it up on eBay and make myself some money. Let's have a look at some Nintendo stuff. Here we go, yeah. The 3DS XL to be discontinued in Japan, which is it's a shocker. I mean, I've got my assumptions about why this is happening, but I'll go into the article first. This is hosted by Suji, by the way. 3DS to be discontinued in Japan. Popular Nintendo handheld to cease production as it replaced by new 3DS XL. Nintendo is set to end production on its Nintendo 3DS XL held away in Japan. The large version of the 3DS has been popular in the country over the 16 million 3DS systems sold in Japan at the end of September. Almost half of these, around 7 million, were 3DS XLs. Despite them coming to the market later than the original version. Scroll down. A big giant fucking picture. We don't know what it is. However, Nintendo's recent release of the new 3DS XL in Japan means that it wanted to update its hardware to continue to become the flagship version, which is basically true. I mean, I want to get myself a new 3DS XL, the new ones, to replace my sort of Pikachu 3DS. I'm looking forward to getting one eventually. As I say, there's a whole bunch of new tech that I want to buy and just. Money's not there at the moment, basically. The 3DS hardware page on Nintendo's official Japanese website has added the message, in production soon, above all seven colours of the original 3DS XL. Although a standard-sized version of the new 3DS was also recently released in Japan, the same discontinuation message has yet to appear on the original standard-sized 3DS, though this may follow soon, which is understandable as well. They want to get rid of all this old tech first before they start making all the new stuff. The new 3DS XL announced in August, coming to Europe and North America in 2015, features a number of new improvements over the current models. Aside from more powerful processors, its new 3DS systems also feature a second circle pad and a ZR buttons, combining a system with its Circle Pad Pro accessory. So basically, it's, you know, basically what we've asked for a long time ago. It's like, yeah, we want, let's say, I'll just open up my one now. It's like, yeah, there's one circle pad, we want another one, as well as your button. So more stuff to do, more you know, more control, you know, more gameplay functionality, I guess. What else we got? Let's have a look. I've got a whole bunch of more Nintendo stuff. It's amazing. Nintendo's never had it so easy. Yeah, Nintendo and Philips finally sort out their Wii U patent dispute. Nintendo and Philips, the dispute over the Wii motion controller technology. Back in May, Philips tried to get the Wii U banned from sales in the US after claiming the console infringed several of its patents. Philips said Nintendo copied technology that replicates a user's real-life actions in-game. A second infringement concerned user interfaces designed to be navigated by pointing a device such as the Wii Remote. Then in June, Nintendo lost a UK court battle over the patents. It appealed the decision as it promised to do all it could to keep the console on shop shelves. Now Nintendo and Philips have sealed a deal to cross-license portions of each other's patents portfolios, and Philips has agreed to end its patent infringement proceedings against Nintendo in Germany, Britain, France, and the US. We are pleased to have reached agreements with Philips, as it demonstrates that both companies recognize the importance of intellectual property rights, said Martina Frank, European General Counsel of Nintendo of Europe. Nintendo has a substantial IP portfolio and a long history of developing innovative products while respecting valid intellectual property rights of others. Both Nintendo and Philips have declined to reveal the financial terms of the license agreement, but the upshot is the Mario Maker is now free to sell Wii U. It's Wii U this Christmas. That's cool, I guess. I mean, Charles, I remember reading about this, months ago, back in May, when all this started happening during the summer. And it was like, okay, what's going to happen with this? And now we finally get some sort of, end to the story. But yeah, I guess that's good. I mean, I was slightly worried about this sort of stuff because, I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff with Nintendo taking tech or people taking tech from Nintendo and the way, if you remember months ago, I was talking about, the Wii U is basically an iPad, giant iPad. Sony copies Nintendo with their stuff, with the PlayStation Go fucking dildo thing with a ball on the end of it. And the fact that basically just everyone's copying each other these days. There are no real, real ideas when it comes to peripherals these days. And to be honest, we don't really need any sort of peripherals at all. We're sort of happy with, what we've got, really. Just make the console, make the games, and then we'll give a shit after that. But here we go, this is from IGN. Game Boy emulator patent filed by Nintendo. Nintendo has filed a patent to allow the Game Boy emulator on other hardware, included on the back seat back displays of trains, planes, as well as mobile phones. NeoGAF member Rusty spotted the patent, which was originally filed back in July this year, leading to speculation about the Japanese gaming giants could be up to. A low capability platform, e.g. backseat displays or personal digital assistant, may not have enough processing power to readily provide acceptable speed performance, Nintendo explains, unless the software emulator is carefully designed and carefully optimized. It will not be able to maintain real-time speed performance when running on a slower or less highly capable processor. But while this suggests Nintendo may be trying to create an environment where it can put high quality emulated games out into the world, there's also speculation this could be part of a mission by the company to crack down on third party emulators. Which, basically, yes, because I know a bunch of my friends have got all the basically any sort of Nintendo games they want from emulators. I never bother with this sort of stuff because I'd just go and I'd buy the old console and play it like that, but. It's good, I guess. They're trying to clamp down, but they are providing us with. I mean, I don't really trust half these emulators anyway because viruses and crashing your systems, that sort of stuff. Whereas if you've got Nintendo doing a hold of this sort of stuff, then there is some sort of focus to it, and Nintendo's taking care of it. And that's why, say, with Nintendo doing emulation stuff, what's to stop Sony doing something, Microsoft doing 3 or 6 games of, I mean, sure, they do the stuff already, but I guess it's like nice. You know, I mean, which was, there is no real need for emulation as such when you think about, I mean, Nintendo, yes, because of, you know, the Game Boy stuff, all the stuff they've done over the past, you know, 20, 30 years. But stuff for Sony, Microsoft, you can buy all their old games on your Xboxes and your PlayStations anyway through the old store and the library and that. But where was I? Yes, one of the most popular Game Boy Advance emulators has been around since 2004, and you could find a host of options on both Google Play Store and Windows Phone Marketplace. Apple no longer allows them, but you can still install one if you jailbreak it. A number of Game Boy RTM emulators have been written for a variety of different platforming ranges, ranging from digital assistants to personal computers. The filing elaborates, however, further improvements are possible and desirable. There's been suggested that Nintendo would branch into the phone market for years, though the company has already steadfast refused to put games on other manufacturers' platforms. Whether this is the start of all this changing or a step towards protecting its best loved franchises remains to be seen. I guess, but I don't know. I'm just saying, it says refused to put refused to put its games on other manufacturers' platforms. Does that include the Sonic and Mario at the Olympics, the Winter Olympics, that sort of stuff? Because it's, you know, it's still a Mario property, I guess. You know, it's still first party. I don't know. Maybe there's some sort of bylaw in it because it's the fact that it's got Sonic as well, which is a Sega property. I don't know, something like that. Let's go into some more stuff. I think that's pretty much all my Nintendo stuff that's worth talking about. If I did have a better iPod, this is something I definitely want to get as well. This is from Eurogamer. Oddworld Stranger's Wrath out now for the iOS. The iOS version of Oddworld Stranger's Wrath is out now, priced at £3.99 on the App Store. Oddworld inhabitants have reworked the controls for the iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch versions of the action adventure that made its debut on the original Xbox in 2005. There's a native iOS gamepad support, as well as leaderboards, achievements, and cloud save. Of note, Stranger's Wrath requires at least the iOS iPhone 4S, iPad 2, iPad Mini, or the iPad Touch 5th Gen. So basically, I'm shit out of luck. According to a tweet from Oddworld inhabitants, the Android version is due out soon. It says, surprise, out now on iOS and very soon on Android, Oddworld Stranger's Wrath. So I might pick it up for my Android, you know, my Android phone, maybe. But, you know, it, worth picking up if you want to play it. I mean, I didn't play the original, but I did hear really good things about it. But, yeah, so it could be good. I mean, it's a whole bunch of stuff going on now. Let's have a look. Here we go. Yeah, Destiny. I'll talk about Destiny for a little bit as I barely play it, but people still do, I guess. Destiny update makes sweeping changes to its most powerful weapons. Bungie's released a new update for the first-person shooter that makes significant changes to the game's most powerful items. The 75-megabyte update, which brings the game to up to version 1.1, buffs a wrath of exotic weapons, basic exotic class stuff, guns, and nerfs, one of its most popular. Exotic weapons are designed to look and feel and sound overpowered, the developer wrote on Bungie.net. So at the same time, they are not supposed to break the balance of the game. We hope these weapons challenge the way players think about their loadouts. Exotics will be a constant work in progress. Of particular interest, the much maligned Thorn and Bad Juju guns have been buffed because, you know, even though they're exotic weapons, I've heard they're really shit, but, you know, they're just not powerful enough to do what they're supposed to do. Meanwhile, the Sura's regime auto rifle used by many players has been nerfed, which is a bit of a bastard because that was the one I did want back when I was playing Destiny. Bungie has also changed the way you upgrade exotic weapons and armor in a move clearly designed to help players fully upgrade their best items before next week's release of the expansion, The Dark Below. Exotics no longer require the tricky to get ascendant materials to upgrade. Oh, what? That's a fucking arsehole bastard. Now the final node of all exotic gears requires a new material called Exotic Shard. You can get an exotic shard from dismantling unwanted exotics or buying them from a once-a-week NPC vendor, Zur for 7 strange coins. It's worth noting that exotic weapons now start a higher base attack value, but also have a narrowed upgrade range to compensate for the charge changes Bungie has made with its today's update. Here's a significant change. Destination materials, spin metal, relic iron, spirit bloom, and helium filaments now drop from completing the daily heroic missions and the daily patrol bounty. You can also buy them using Vanguard marks and Crucible marks. The exchange rate is 10 marks for 20 upgrade materials. This changes the way material farming works, so that hunting down chests in patrol mode is not the only realistic option for players. Those who play the game, game's raid, Vault of Glass, will be disappointed to know that Bungie has tweaked the Templar boss fight so that it can't be forced off its platform, which was done a while ago. Using grenades to do this was a popular cheese tactic among players. And finally, Bungie has fixed an issue causing the Xbox One version's frame rate to drop for those who use using their party chat. But yeah, it's basically full list of patch notes. You've got, there's so much shit to go through. I'm not going to fucking bother. But yeah, literally, I mean, the whole bunch of patch notes. Just go to, bungie.net and you'll see it all. God, I'm running out of time again, as usual. I can just keep talking and talking and talking. Okay, let's find something else to talk about. Here we go, yeah. As I play in Dragon Age, there's a bug, as usually there is. This is from Eurogamer. Dragon Age Inquisition bug preventing companion banter. That bit where Solas winds Sarah up about her unexplored inanimate magical ability because she's messed up with his things. Mad Bants, the kind some people are missing out. God, Mad Bants, are you fucking kidding me? Who wrote this? A bunch of dumbasses. Yeah, sort of mad banter. The kind people that some people are missing out on in Dragon Age Inquisition because of a bug. Some people have ploughed hours upon hours into the fantasy adventure only to be frustrated as a lack of chat between party members as they explore. I do love the party banter. It's actually really good. It was one of those things that I remember from playing the other games. It was like, okay, yep, they're talking to each other. It's pretty good. I mean, say, I've only got my character and me dwarf, me mage, and the other sword person. But yeah, just talking amongst each other, it's really good. Here we go. There are pages of reports on the EA Answers HQ support forum. Of people only encountering a handful of occasions of banter in upwards of 10, 15, 20 hours of play and longer. BioWare has acknowledged the problem and is asking for 60 plus hours game saves in which the player experienced the problem for research purposes. These causes aren't known, but there's a workaround of sorts that has been has met some success. So basically they're working on it, but it just takes a bit of time. And I mean, I haven't experienced a problem as much. I mean, the bands are still there, so they're fixing it, I guess, here we go. Yeah. Something about Minecraft, something good for once. Minecraft gets Xbox exclusive Star Wars DLC. Microsoft has released the first of several new Star Wars skin packs, which will only launch for Xbox 360 and Xbox One. 55 player skins are included in the Star Wars Classic skin pack DLC, including Luke, Leia, Han, and Chewbacca. Dozens of the lesser-known characters also make an appearance, from Greedo to Governor Tarkin, via Bib Fortuna and Admiral Ackbar. You can download the skin pack now for £1.99 on Xbox 360, or £2.39 on the Xbox One. It's not the first time that Microsoft's $2.5 billion buyout of Minecraft DLC has just launched for Xbox platforms. The first of several exclusive Doctor Who skins launched for Xbox 360 and Xbox One last month. But Microsoft's PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4 Vita versions have continued to receive unlicensed DLC packs, such as the recent free Halloween DLC, and the development of these versions is continuing as normal. Microsoft's console developer 4J Studios is now working on a major update that will bring all console versions much closer to the game's PC build. This will finally see the addition of rideable horses and horse armor to the game, along with enemies such as bats, witches, and the wither, plus new items such as beacons, hoppers, hay bales, and fireworks. But yeah, there's a whole bunch of characters, you know, sort of Han Solo, sort of Ender gear, smuggler gear. Yeah, just Tusken Raiders, C-3PO, Kenobi, TIE Fighter pilots. You know, just everyone, like Boba Fett, IG-88, the Emperor, AT-AT pilot, Lobots. You know, pretty much sort of the lesser known characters from Star Wars, but, you know, the ones, you know, that I know anyway, that are in it. Let's find something else. I know I'm running out of time as usual. Let's find something good. Here we go. Yeah, this I saw this before the show started. Steam now lets you live stream your game playing. Steam has introduced a new service called Steam Broadcasting that allows players to watch their friends play games with the click of a mouse. When you see a friend is in a game, either from their profile or your friends list, you'll see a button that says "Watch Game." Click it, and voila. You can eavesdrop on their good time. In order to say to give Steam Broadcasting a go, you and your friends need to opt into the Steam Steam client beta. To do this, simply go into your settings menu and change your beta participation to Steam beta update. Steam users will be able to select who gets to watch their games with options from anyone friends only. And only friends that you invite, or set it to friends that friends can request to watch, but you'll need to accept before they gain access. The first time you get a viewing request, you'll be presented with the broadcasting options. Players will be able to request that their friends watch them too. They should be so inclined. Should they be so inclined? Right now, the service only includes live streams, so you can't save your footage. No doubt, probably will be updated anyway soon. Thus, it is a tree falls in the forest. There's no one there to watch it. Did it fuck off with the bullshit metaphors? Steam Broadcasting is currently only supported through the Steam client on Windows 7 and Windows 8, but Mac and Linux support will be added later. Now, this is good. It's, you know, Steam. I mean, Steam's pretty much doing everything else apart from making fucking Half-Life Episode 3. Half-Life 2, Episode 3, or Half-Life 3. But yeah, I sort of want to know what this happens with Twitch. Twitch is a big thing for people to watch stuff on. But now with Steam, will this totally blow Twitch out of the water? I'm looking forward to seeing the fallout amongst this and like the big war, or, you know, what happens with seeing people who use Twitch to stream their stuff, or people, because, I mean, you know, If you're buying stuff off Steam, I would say it's probably much easier to use Steam Broadcasting than Twitch. I mean, because you think it was like Twitch is making money from all the fucking ads and stuff. Now Steam will probably do that as well, and it's basically down to what you want to use the best. It's the beta and the VHS argument going on now is Steam and Twitch, but it could be something interesting. It really could, but. We'll have to wait and see. All right, let's find some more stuff because I'm running out of time. Sorry, I'm trying to find something decent. Here we go, yeah. This is what I was looking for. This is from CVG. Call of Duty Advanced Warfare's 100 best players to get special gold armor. Grandmaster set clad players in ornate gold. The best of 100 players of Call of Duty Advanced Warfare are set to receive a special set of armor that won't be available to anyone else. The Grandmaster set dresses players in an ornately designed set of gold armor. According to a tweet by Sledgehammer Games, though, the Grandmaster set will only be awarded to a strictly limited number of highly ranked players. There's another look at the Grandmaster's character set. It read, awarded to the top 100 players, 100 ranked players in Advanced Warfare. It's not known when this armor will be made available or what formats its recipients have to be playing in order to get it. Activision recently announced that Call of Duty Advanced Warfare's take on the series classic zombie mode will release as DLC in January. The first chapter of Exo Zombies will include with the Havoc DLC pack in January. or as part of the Call of Duty Advanced Warfare Season Pass, developer Sledgehammer Games has confirmed. The Call of Duty $50 Call of Duty Advanced Warfare Season Pass also grants buyers access to four multiplayer DLC packs planned for release throughout 2015, Havoc, Ascendant, Supremacy, and Reckoning. I'm just looking at this armor now. It looks okay. It looks pretty cool, but the ranked stuff, I mean, I know we were talking about Lizard Squad, and there was like hacking of the DDoS. What's to stop them hacking the I mean, I meant back when I think about Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare, and some of the subsequent ones after that I did play. And looking at the ranking leaderboards, they were so fucking messed up from players who'd been, you know, hacking the servers, hacking their rank. Oh, excuse me, sorry. Bit gassy. But yeah. I mean, hopefully they've fixed all the hacking problems when it comes to people trying to make their, you know, fact that, you know, altering their kill to death ratio, that sort of stuff. But it's nice. They don't want to give the reward the best players, but to be honest, even though the best players still going to get shot down with a shotgun at close range, no matter how good they are. And to be honest, as I say, I mean, I did watch a little while ago what the fuck was it? Back when Microsoft, yeah, Xbox One, it was like last year, I think it was, and they had like the European champions of Call of Duty. I'm like, these people play the same way I do when it comes to Call of Duty. It's like you run around and you shoot people. No matter, just because you're on a team doesn't mean you're any better than the rest of us. All right, let's talk about the crew, because this is one of the games that I'm actually interested in that's coming out soon, I guess. The crew won't suffer launch problems, leader to developers, designer says. Extended beta testing offered as proof it will be fine on day one. But it probably won't, but I'll carry on reading. The lead designer of the crew has promised the game will not suffer the same launch problems as recent high-profile games, basically Drive Club. Serkan Hassan told the Metropolist, there we go, that he is confident, Jesus Christ, if I can't fucking say that word, what would you make a magazine called it? That he is confident Ubisoft's MMO racing game will launch smoothly upon without the sort of issues that affected the things like Drive Club, Halo Master Chief Collection, and Assassin's Creed Unity, as well as, you know, Battlefield 4 and SimCity and too many other games that I could talk about. For the crew, we've reaped the benefits of a long-term beta program designed specifically to push our infrastructure as far as possible in real-world situations, with thousands of players from all over the world playing the game at the same time. The launch of any online game these days has potential issues, but I hope that players will be encouraged by our open approach. Have you had any doubts that we could pull this off? I hope the betas prove our credentials and that the game and the game's stability. Stating the game's development team, he says, we have what it takes to make this a successful launch. Hassan added, regarding performance, expect 1080p and 30 frames per second on Xbox One and PlayStation 4 at launch. Ubisoft's Assassin's Creed Unity has come under fire for a myriad of graphic glitches and gameplay bugs since launch, as evidenced by a flood of YouTube videos highlighting the game's many faults. In a drastic move following its marred launch, Ubisoft discontinued the game's season pass and announced free offerings as compensation to owners of the game. So that's good, I guess, but you shouldn't really say stuff like, okay, well, this game is going to be perfect, it's not going to be any problems with the launch, everything is going to be good, because it's never that way. It never works out that way. I don't know. find something else, because I've got a couple minutes left. Here we go, yeah. Metal Gear Online to be revealed at the Game Awards. There we go. This is from CVG. Hideo Kojima to show off to show off the project next week. This is last week's article, so it should be this week. The new Metal Gear Online is set to be revealed at the Game Awards 2014 in Las Vegas. Show host Jeff Keighley confirmed that Metal Gear creator Hideo Kojima will be in attendance to show off the project. Yeah, so basically he'll talk about a few words he knows in English and then have it translated to the rest. Speaking to CVG last year, Kojima confirmed that the Metal Gear Online was being co-developed by Kojima Productions, Japan and LA Studios. He says, we're working closely to create a vast multiplayer for all the fans, he said. The original Metal Gear Online was shut down in June 2012, 4 years after its launch alongside Metal Gear Solid 4, Sons of the Patriots. It incorporated many of the gameplay elements from the multiplayer components of Metal Gear Solid 3, Substance, Metal Gear Solid Portable Ops. The Metal Gear Solid 5 Phantom Pain release date will fall in 2015. Kojima confirms at the Tokyo Game Show in September. He also provided CVG with a few details about the Phantom Pain's online features and interview conducted at E3 in June. Each player will have their own customizable mother base, an offshore facility which houses resources and can be upgraded with using in-game currency. People who want to create a mother base is in a very detailed way. We'll be able to design it through through the interface or using their smart device. Yeah, Metal Gear Online. I like Kojima. He's good, but I say he needs to hurry up with this shit because I mean we've been hearing about Metal Gear Solid, Metal Gear Phantom Pain for a couple of years now, and it's not coming out till next year. I mean, we only got. When did we get Metal Gear Ground Zeroes? Last year, 2013? Yeah, it's the whole Gran Turismo bullshit again with this. And, you know, I just want some Metal Gear Solid now. And I don't know, I could be over Metal Gear Solid. I mean, I'm not that fussed. I mean, I do feel like I need to pick up. I still feel like I need to pick up Ground Zeroes, but I really can't be arsed. I really can't. I don't know. I'll do talk about this last article and I'll finish up the show. Last of Us art director Nate Wells joins Tomb Raider studio. The artist took to Twitter to announce the move today after a few months hopping between smaller studios. Says Wells left Naughty Dog on April 3rd this year to join Giant Sparrow, the studio behind the Unfinished Swan. The Unfinished Swan. There we are. Fucking slurring. I need a drink. Or their unannounced title, according to his LinkedIn. He also worked with San Francisco startup Missing Presumed Drowns sometime after joining Giant Sparrow. Wells got his start in the industry at Looking Glass Studios before taking a position at International Games, and then in notoriety as one of the minds behind 2007's Bioshock. In 2012, he left to join Naughty Dog, where he gained accolades for his work as art director on The Last of Us, which looked a beautiful game. Crystal Dynamics is currently working on the Rise of the Tomb Raider, a follow-up to the 2013's reboot of the series that has been announced. Has been revealed to be an Xbox exclusive, which basically is, say, another one of my reasons to buy an Xbox. But I'm not that fussed at the moment. I know this will probably eventually come to PlayStation eventually, but just a matter of time and how much that Sony wants to pay them, basically. But yeah, say thanks to everyone for listening. I say this pretty much wraps up the show for this week. I know I've got the show, still got plenty more news topics to talk about, but I'd say literally I've got a couple minutes left before I have to sign off, and literally Kevin's up next with Alcohol by Volume, then you got Johnny Five afterwards, My Time Now, then following up the night you had Dutch and Royce, ending up the Super Tuesdays for More Like Radio. So if you do want to get in touch with the show, you can email me, it's antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. You want to join our Facebook group, it's facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. If you want to like our Facebook page, it's facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. And you can follow me on Twitter at MLRGamerRadio. Also, you can Skype in. It's antisocialgamerradio. It's all one word. As well, don't forget, go to iTunes. Look for More Like Radio. Give us a 5-star review. That would be great. But yeah, don't forget as well. Say, it's December. The Game of the Year show's in a couple of weeks. I'm looking forward to doing that. We've got the live event next year. It's only not 5 months away. It seems like a long time, but no doubt we'll come around quick. And I can't wait. I'm literally sort of scratching the walls, waiting to get out there again. Don't forget, email the show. That's why when you do email, let me know what you've been playing, because I want to know, because, you know, Game of the Year show's coming up soon. I'm going to do a topic on that in a few weeks, so that people can get in touch with me. I'm pretty much done for tonight. I'm tired. I need a drink. Going to get myself a beer. Thanks everyone for listening, and I'll speak to you again next week. Take care, people. Bye.
fucking Ashley brought anything to the table?
My God, yeah, what a sure. bag of burden that oh. British piece of shit was. Holy
a
shit.
A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or...